thank you guys for bringing us a first-class sports show to the city.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Ah, it is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old dirty...
Well, I'm the big deal.
The big deal.
Psycho T, a.k.a. T-Mill, a.k.a. Money Bags. You got any money on anything tonight? Or is this two straight days off?
Another night off.
So you're not doing nothing with this open championship? You didn't,
no,
you didn't
I
put
didn't.
Any money on this?
Mm-mm.
Do you bet golf?
Yeah, occasionally. Yeah. Yeah, I like some of the props they put out, like this guy to finish in the top 10 or, you know, the lowest score in this round to be this. Yeah, every once in a while, I place a few bets, but not the open. Not this time.
That's good, man. I like that. You've taken 2 days off. It must have been killing him. He's got 2 days off tomorrow. I am scared, Clint, to think about the amount of bets that Tyler is going to put forth.
Oh, it'll be a full slate.
Tomorrow and the rest of the way.
Make Spillane crap himself.
Baseball starts.
You need the Astros to sweep in a big way, because I know you're fixing to get carried away.
Oh, he's going to bet. He's going to bet not just tomorrow. He's going to bet the overall in the series. He's going to bet.
If the odds are good, that is one bet I always lock in, is win the series.
I know you do.
These Astros win more than they don't outside the beginning of this year. But you
outside the beginning, yeah, outside the beginning of this year, yeah. You've been rolling through. So good for you. Remember, 5 o'clock fire is brought to you by Kirk Holmes, and it has been a big day in terms with the Texans as this season has officially started. Full team, all there, most everybody on the field working. There were no pads today, but they still got good work done out there. But training camp has officially started, and this season and this quest to have the best year that this organization has ever had. As I was talking to John McClain, the general out there today, he said, trying to get to the AFC championship game in this city for the first time since 1979.
Booger butt.
What he said. It's a big start. And the first voice, the first person that we heard from before anybody got on the field, before anybody talked today, and the heavy hitters talked today, was Nick Caserio. And Nick Caserio spoke about the new expectations now for the Houston Texans.
Yeah, I think anything that's really discussed outside of the building doesn't really have any relevance to us. So, I mean, I think that's honestly all for y'all to have fun with. And for the guys at 610 to talk about on the radio, I mean, you know, we're not going to spend any time on things that really, quite frankly, don't matter. I mean, our expectations are for the players is to come in, have a good attitude, put a good foundation in place, be a great teammate, be resilient, because we're going to face some things as a team. We're going to face some things individually, and put the best version of yourself on a field each day. So, I mean, the results will take care of themselves. So what's said outside of the building, I mean, it has no impact on anything that we do. Talking never won games, expectations never won games, good football and good execution win football games. So ultimately, that's what it's going to come down to. So the rest of it, honestly, it's a big waste of time for us to spend time on things that don't matter or that we don't control. We're going to focus on the controllables, focus on the things that we can do on a day-to-day basis, focus all of us on being the best versions of ourselves. What can we do to help the team? And as a player, what can you do to be a great teammate and just maximize your performance and put yourself in a position so you have an opportunity to be competitive on the field on Sunday? So that's where our focus is on a day-to-day basis.
There's Nick doing exactly what he planned and wanted to do. Clint, he was asked about the expectations heading into the season. What do you think his real thoughts are about the expectations heading into the season?
Look, I think he feels really good about them. I think he feels good about this football team. I think he feels good about their chances in every game that they take the field. I think there's probably a little bit of nervousness there, because I think he if anybody understands, last year's schedule was extremely weak, relatively speaking, to what they're going to be up against this year. And as I've said a million times, I think Nick understands this, D'Amico, it's not difficult to be a 500 football team. Or let's say, now that they're playing 17 games, it is not difficult to win 9 football games. If you do things, which the Texans did last year under D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio, if you just do things in a winning way, and you bring in the right players and develop guys and have play callers that are weapons on the sideline and all those things in between, then you're going to win 8-9 games every year. And I think Nick understands that getting there is fairly simple. I think it's fairly predictable if you're in his shoes. This next step that they're going to have to take to, you know, 11-12 wins, and I'm including playoffs, 11-12 wins and potentially an AFC championship and into a Super Bowl, that's a different animal. So I think there's probably a little bit of nervousness about where they're at relative to the schedule and the big boys in the NFL. But I think he's comfortable and confident in what they're doing.
I would think his expectations are high. I mean, he operated and they operated in the offseason, Clint, as if they had expectations like they did when he was in New England.
Yep.
Right. Like he could say it's all for us. Thanks for the shout out, Nick, to 610. I like that, didn't you? In front of everybody. You could say all that stuff, but your expectation was the way you went out this offseason, you went out, not just the guys you got, the guys you were trying to get.
Yep.
You were trying to get, what's my man in Philly now? Saquon Barkley. You were trying to get Armstead. You were trying to get other guys. We heard your name in the boat with a bunch of guys that you weren't able to get, not to mention the dudes that you actually did get. So it seems like they have let's go win it all type expectations. So it should be that way. And when you find out who you have at quarterback, you ought to go after that.
Look,
they found him out.
I agree with you. I think the expectations are high, but I do believe that. Like what Nick saw last year, what D'Amico saw last year, the players don't know no better. But what those guys saw last year, they've got to look at that and be like, damn, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. You know what I mean? Let's not jack these expectations up so high to where we don't have a chance. So, I think they're in a really good spot, man, and as an organization. And Nick definitely has the expectations to go out and win a lot more games than they lose.
Yeah, you don't bring on Stephon Diggs when you already got them to and without right. No high expectations.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
5 o'clock fire.
A couple of things with the Astros as they get ready for the second half. And Tyler gets ready for the second half coming up tomorrow. The schedule for next year has come out. Clint, they will open up the season at home again against the New York Mets. They open up the season with a 6-game homestand. I believe that, didn't they do that? It was a 7-game homestand this year. They opened up with the Yankees, and I forgot who it was they played after that. But they'll open up against the Mets this year, 6-game homestand with the Mets and the Giants. So, guys out there, season ticket holders, people thinking about it, there you go. They got the schedule completely out, and you can get ready for the Mets to kick things off. But more importantly, they have made the decision. Captain Joe has made the decision. And who their starters are going to be coming up this weekend in this big series. And we'll talk about this more tomorrow. But Hunter Brown will start tomorrow, Framber Valdez and Ronel Blanco. And this will be big because, Clint, the absolute strength of the Seattle Mariners is their pitching staff. And they're going to have all of their top horses going in this series as well, including their all-star George Kirby. He's going to pitch in this series. They're going to have their top guys along with it. And these three guys who have been, especially Hunter Brown and Blanco all season, Brown here in the last month plus, who've been pretty consistent on what you're going to get, they need these three guys to come to play because Seattle generally pitches well.
Well, look, I think all three of these guys are capable of pitching at an all-star level and have recently pitched at an all-star level. And are pitching some of their best ball of late. So I mean, look, I like the Astros' chances given how hot this team's been down the stretch, and as they wrapped up the first half versus a Mariners team that I don't recall exactly what they did the last week, but they obviously
allowed 3 or 4 to the Rangers.
Well, there you go. They allowed the Astros to make up 9 of 10 games, a 10-game deficit rather quickly. So I like the Astros' chances here, man. They're playing well. They're swinging it well. They're pitching well. So I like their chances here. And I love the fact that they're rolling out. I don't know what else they would do. I mean, they'd be a fool not to roll out their best three in this Mariners series. Astros with a chance to potentially leave this first series of the second half with a lead in the division. I mean, it's crazy to think that, but that's where we're at.
It's crazy. Framber Valdez, and he's the one. I said those other guys, Framber has kind of been up and down, but, boy, you look at Framber's number, his numbers. I mean, it's so disappointing on what he can do. Like,
it's not ideal.
He's up and down, and he's almost thrown 100 innings. He's 8-5, 3.66 ERA right now. It does feel like you're just not getting anywhere close to what you think he can get. But
it's more so like we've talked about this before, Ron. With him, if he's going to be your number two or number three starter, cool. Everybody's comfortable with that with Framber. But the problem is that we all, I think most of Astros fans expect him and have expected him over a couple of years now to pitch like an ace. And at the end of the day, an ace
is consistent.
Seems to be more consistent, seems to be able to right the ship, seems to have a little steadier head on their shoulders when things go south. So it's not that the dude's not, I mean, can't absolutely deal. I mean, look, there's no doubt about it that, there's a chance he could throw a no-hitter every time he goes out there. But at the end of the day, it's that the ace bar is ultimately what I think Framber Valdez is measured on. And unfortunately, there's been some inconsistencies where you wonder if he can be that guy.
He can be that guy. So big series. We'll talk more about coming up tomorrow.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, the British Open is or for those that are golf fans, the Open Championship has gotten underway today. And the leaderboard, in talking about in terms of players, should be fun if this can continue. Justin Thomas is up there, a major champion. Justin Rose up there. Brooks Koepka and Scottie Scheffler are both four off the pace. Adam Scott's four off the pace as well. So it could be fun. Jordan Spieth is even. Right now, Tiger Woods shot a 8-79.
And as bad as that sounds, if you see this 4-foot putt he missed, you're gonna know it's time for Tiger. It's time. It's
damn it, Eldrick.
I ain't never seen Tiger miss a putt like that.
That putt was
maybe it was the angle we were watching it. They had it on TV, Ron. Maybe no.
it was.
It looked like one of us.
It looked like, and it was so. And the reason why it looked like it was so, it was hit so firmly,
It was firmly, the line was on a 4-foot putt. He missed about half a ball out of the hole, and it was a straight putt. I mean, that's how bad his line. I bet was 4 inches off on a straight putt that was 4 or 5 foot. Like it was just,
I mean, it was like when you say one of us, that's me. My pace control is out of
Ron,
this.
That looked like one of us that approached that putt and stood over that putt like, hell, this, I got this straight, I'm gonna put this in the back of the cup. This is easy right here. And then we just leave that old face open and push it right. That was an amateur putt without.
And I want to see what it looked like coming back up. They didn't show that. I want to because he.
If he'd have missed that one, they'd have showed that.
God, he right? looked like. I'm just saying, he looked like he hit that pretty far past. Is what I'm saying. Like, I mean, we're at a place that somebody needs to have a. I don't know who that person is, but somebody needs to have a conversation with him. Like, I mean, he needs to have a dream, and Earl needs to show up in that dream to let him know. It's like that putt. I'll be as honest as I can here. That putt was like watching Joe Biden walk up those steps yesterday. At that point, it was like, you know, I think the same person that may need to have a conversation with Tiger may need to have a conversation with Joe. It was just like, geez.
I've fallen and I can't get up.
Man, like it may be time to make a move, because it's like I have tried to hold on to the Tiger Woods thing for a long time. This is about to be the third. It's not about to be. This is going to be the third straight cut he missed. If he plays tomorrow, what do you think he finishes? You think he's got a run in him?
If it ain't 10 under, he's going to miss the cut.
Oh, he's going to miss. Oh, he's going 10.
I mean, that's the thing. He don't have 10 under in his bag.
No.
Tyler, what do you think the cut's going to be tomorrow in the open? I mean, I know it's hard.
Do we know what the leader's at?
Five.
And this is a huge field. Like, this is the biggest field I think I read the other day. There's 156, I think, golfers playing. It's a huge field.
Yeah. I mean, probably a low plus number, right?
I would think so. That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah,
I
plus think two or three or
right.
something.
And he's at minus eight. I mean, I'm sorry. He's at plus eight right now. Is that where he's at?
Yep.
Plus eight. So he's got to go six or seven under to have
it's a shot. Like, it's either one of the two. Like, one, hey, Tiger, really commit yourself and play competitive golf, like, more than four times a year. Or, like, be done. Slide, wait till your time to get to that Champions Tour. Go over there and play with John Daly. And like you said, get on the bag for Charlie.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's running out there buying that Sunday Red.
No, none of that. He could sell it on the Seniors Tour. Hell, he's probably got a chance to play four rounds on that tour. He's out here getting you two, and he's out. And many of those he is leaving earlier because he's injured. God, no, man, that's a rough watch. That's a rough watch. All right, we've got to do this. We've got to talk about what we told you going into camp, the number one story that's on our mind, the number one thing to watch, and we'll discuss Kenyon Green coming up next.
Texans Training Camp, live from the Twin Peaks Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Text line coming through. Someone texted in and said, I love these. I love these right here, Tyler. Hey, Clint, because I think they think you know. Ron doesn't know anything. Anything.
Now, why you bring me into it?
I'm just saying, because I think, well, they didn't bring you into it, so I assume that they think that you do know.
You actually do know a lot about golf,
Ron. Ron doesn't know anything about golf. Good Lord. Okay, good. All right. I'd like for you to capitalize Lord, please, will you? Just as a side note to the texture.
That's a holy name, sir.
I said, what don't I know? Where am I off on?
Yeah, explain yourself, texture.
First of all, the leader of the tournament. Well, as I was going through to name the top names, I didn't think that Daniel Brown leading it was one of the top names. No. I just wanted to get. I really wanted to work myself to Scottie Scheffler, Justin Thomas,
the ones names. People know. Yeah.
So good. I'm glad you're a fan of Dan Brown. The reason behind what Tiger is doing and why he's out there, he has spoken on it dozens of times. He is not. He is trying to win, but knows he can't. He's doing it for the fans. We'll never ride a cart. We'll never play the Senior Tour. Okay. I would like for you to find the place where he has said he knows he can't win.
I mean, I've heard him say the opposite.
Every single turn. Like, delusional about it.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly.
I mean, I don't listen to every bit of audio that's out
and
there.
You, and you, no, PGA, I don't either. But, and listen, I don't need, I definitely have, I don't recall hearing Tiger say, I'm out here and I know I'm sucking, but I'm out here for you, the
I'm
fans.
I'm doing it for the fans, baby.
That don't even sound like Tiger. And I have been a Tiger fan for years since he came on the scene. I'm talking U.S. amateurs. That ain't Tiger-like.
He wouldn't even shape his mouth to say that. Even though we all know it's true.
He will come out here to get his ass kicked, but do it for you, the fan. No, that ain't Tiger. Tiger delusionally believes he can win these tournaments, which is what's made him Tiger to begin with. All right. Sorry, Daniel Brown's leading the tournament. Clint, we talked about the Kenyon Green. I'll just transition. We talked about Kenyon Green being the top story during training camp this offseason. We wanted to see him. And I'm going to tell you what. Tyler, 076, which is Kenyon Green now, got away from 5'9". 076, again, if we look at first time seeing him at OTAs, then seeing him at mandatory minicamp and watching him move out there, And now seeing him here, at every single turn, Clint, he has passed the test, and not passed the test just by passing it, but passing it with flying colors. He has blown it out the water and looked, oh, wow, not just, oh, he looks good, but, oh, wow, he looks really good. He is not just moving well, but he's moving really well. Like, he looked, he has done it at every single turn from when we first saw him at OTAs, when we first saw him at mandatory minicamp. Now, the thought was, all right, as it felt like D'Amico, one of the people he was maybe talking to was him when he talked about, hey, get serious, no, they had. And he came back, and 076 looked good. He passed. He has passed every single test with flying colors thus far. And I know for you, he's about to get to you a little strong here. You're gonna have to calm it down a bit, man.
Yes, I agree. Yeah,
you gotta at least let him hit first.
I agree with you.
At least let him pass.
I agree. I've got to pull back a bit. I've got to chill out a bit on this Kenyon Green thing, man. I mean I'm just high on him right now. I've been really, really, really down for 2 years on Kenyon Green. I feel like I've been honest, been critical, been negative, justifiably so.
You want it to work too.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, hell yeah, I do. I'd like to see the Texans be able to run the football and have a strong presence inside on the offensive line with two great tackles. I'd love to see that. Yeah. But I just every step of the way, when you look at the body comp change that he's done over the last several months, when you look at just how he's walking on the field and off the field, when you look at, I looked down there today, Ron, and I'll be honest with you, I was in my mind, I knew he had changed numbers because you kept talking about it. You mentioned it multiple times. But I wasn't sure what number he had changed to. And they were on the far end of the field. I had a great view. It was pretty ways away, but I had a great view of what they were doing. And the first rep I see, 76, is the guard. They've got a tackle. I don't know who the tackle was in the game with him. It wasn't in the game. It was a drill. It was just the left side of the offensive line going. Anyway, they were getting on a defensive tackle, and then they were passing the defensive tackle off to a linebacker, right? So whoever, either the tackle or the guard, would take over the defensive tackle, and the other one would climb to the second level of the defense. And the first rep I see is 76, and I'm like, damn, who is that? I mean, that dude is moving. That's impressive. Like, he's cross-facing a defensive. Now, it's a drill. It's a guy standing there with a damn bag, so take what it is, take it for what it's worth. But I'm just like, damn, that guy looks athletic. Them feet look quick. I mean, who is that? And then I look down at my roster, and I'm like, hell, that's Kenyon Green. So I start watching him, and sure enough, I mean, he is as fleet-footed as anybody that's working down there from a distance working that drill. And so I go back to watching Diggs and Tank Dell and yada, 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 and then I look down there, and they're doing the heavy bag drill where the O-line, he's holding a big heavy bag. It ain't much bigger than his chest, but it's heavy. And he's got it extended. It's like they're pass protecting. Boom, to the right, and then the coach is giving them a verbal command, and they switch like their pass protection to the left, and they're working their slides, it looks like. And I'm like, damn, that's fleet. I mean, that is natural. That change of direction is twitchy. That change of direction is yeah, urgent. Like, that's –
he is sucking you right.
Yes, he is. I mean, I saw him take a knee one time in practice, and it was because he was, every other time I looked up, he was busting ass. I've got to pump
but
the brakes.
But it didn't feel like he was taking a knee like before you're like, oh, no, he's about to pass.
Before
like he was
he's taking a knee to suck like, oxygen.
He looked like he was taking a knee the same way that the D-line was taking a knee on the other side.
No, not sucking wind.
No, it didn't look like he was – it didn't look like he was out there thinking about that knee the final two plays.
He wasn't Lord out there thinking I've about how there. He's going to get through practice. He was out there taking a knee, grabbing a little water, talking to another offensive lineman about what appeared to be football stuff. I don't know, but it appeared to be football stuff. But I got to pump the brakes a little bit. I mean, they ain't even put pads on, and I'm damn near convinced that he's going to have a hell of a year. So yeah, I've got to settle down a little bit, but I as you know, this time of year, I always trust my eyes, man, and I'm telling you, it goes. Here's what I'm confident in right now with Kenyon Green. It goes well beyond just, hey, this guy's changed his body comp. This guy's moving really well, man. Like, which is a maybe it's a byproduct of changing your body comp.
And now you're starting to get to a point where it's hard to see that not show itself when he gets pads on.
It's hard to see that not render some level of production, like positive production, successful production. Like, it's hard to think that that guy that was drafted 15 overall, that's moving like that, that's changed his body like that, all of a sudden goes out there and is the same player that we saw that couldn't even compete the last 2 years. It's hard to believe, man. I just feel like the dude is primed to have a really good season, and he is, every time I see him, it's more convincing. So we'll see what it looks like in pads.
Someone said, are you sure you weren't watching Kendrick Green?
I am positive.
100%.
In fact, I saw Kendrick Green today walk by. Those are two different humans.
Yeah, that's kind of what you're talking about when you talk about just if those two dudes got it together, got their heads on, you're talking about a completely different body, ability.
Look, Kendrick Green walks by you and you go, I mean, I see where the Pittsburgh Steelers, if things weren't working out at guard, I see where they would have put him at like a goal line fullback. There's a lack of size there. And then when Kenyon Green walks by, you're like, ain't a lack of nothing. That God given anyway. There ain't a lack of nothing. When he walks by, it's like, yep,
and he shaped it.
Yes. And now he's got it all. Now he's got it all buttoned up, it looks like. Yeah, I mean, he's just a guy that. From he was born to be an interior offensive lineman. That's it. And Kendrick Green is lucky to hang on and not be a fullback guard. I mean, a goal line fullback.
Again. No, he was a fullback.
I'm not saying that negatively. I'm just saying from a looks. I mean, it's a different animal when we're talking about Kenyon Green.
Yeah. All right. Coming up, I think the greatest compliment early on day one, the greatest compliment we can pay to the Houston Texans. We'll do that coming up next.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Twin Peaks Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Back to 100% yet, Tyler?
Feeling pretty good, man. Yeah, feeling pretty good.
That 6 o'clock sniff coming around, you feel that? Start to turn?
Oh, yeah. Time to run it back.
Someone text in, how many times over under 4.5? Do you think Tyler has dozed off? He has not dozed off once.
It's not usually a symptom for me when I'm hungover, honestly.
Just more pain.
Yes.
Not by 2 o'clock, I hope. I mean, he slept in, ladies and gentlemen. And he had a breakfast that he ain't had in a while.
That DoorDash McDonald's.
What was the order? McGriddle?
Bacon McGriddle meal with a Dr. Pepper's, one hash brown in there.
You didn't add a second hash brown?
No, and I sometimes do because they're so good, but well, no.
My heyday is I would go sausage.
See, I've never been a big breakfast sausage guy.
And listen, I've graduated from this or matured from this, but it would go, let me get a sausage biscuit with cheese, McMuffin with cheese, any of them.
Yeah.
Griddle with cheese. Yeah. I go sausage. The meal and an extra hash brown. And the first hash brown would be used as another piece to the sandwich.
Oh, that's innovative.
And I would hope that they would get it crisp. And I would put that hash brown in the sandwich. And then the other one was my side hash brown.
I got to do that now. I mean, you were doing that before Whataburger came out with their ultimate breakfast sandwich thing with that in there.
Probably been better if I just maybe broke it in half and then not just had to get the second one. But
I did McDonald's breakfast for the first time in years.
That was me this morning.
Good.
Last weekend. It's ridiculously good.
So good.
You can get sucked right in, can't you?
Oh, I mean, I literally had a sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit, I think it was. Oh. Actually, I started with the steak. Have you had the steak?
Steak burrito?
No, the steak. They're serving this
steak, egg, and cheese. On the bagel?
Well, you can put it on any of them. The McMuffin, or the...
I've seen it.
I need to try that.
Yeah. I mean, it was all right, but it pales in comparison to the basic, you know, sausage, egg, and cheese.
Okay.
I ate that one, and then I commenced eating a sausage, egg, and cheese, too. Ate half of that when I realized, what am I doing?
Well,
you didn't just get to finish it?
No, I put it down.
If the Drive family wants to know the tough place I was in this morning.
If you're going to start, just finish.
I DoorDashed this McDonald's meal for breakfast. I ate that meal in my bed, and I went back to sleep until about 11:30.
Good for you. I thought he was going to say I ate it. Another one.
No, I crashed back out. Oh, man.
Good for you.
But hey, I'm back.
Baby! One more thing with Kenyon Green. Y'all all right with him day one immediately being with the starting unit? You all right with that day one with everything that Kenyon Green has been? Where, yes, they shut him down last season for injury, but I'm sorry, you can't convince me also some of that was due to, hey man, let's just get a reset.
Yeah.
Let's start him over and let's try to give him a chance to really get his mind and body right. Are you all right with him getting it day one with all he's been through?
Absolutely I am. One, yeah. There ain't nobody else in the middle to give it to at left guard, to be honest with you. That took the right from him, but I'll be honest with you, man. We've talked about it multiple times. The fact that he's changed his entire body over again. This wasn't in 2 weeks. I mean, this is hard work, dedication, accountability, nutrition, working out over an extended period of time, several months. I'm talking 8 or 9 months. The fact that he did that. And obviously his ceiling is so much higher than any other guard you have in the building that I have no problem. I think he earned it is where I'm going with it. I think the commitment over the last 8 to 9 months, he earned the opportunity to be the left guard for this football team from jump, and it'd be his job to lose. I'm A-okay with it, man.
Yeah, I think the big point of who else would you put there? Kendrick Green? Who else would you put there? Patterson? Probably want him to just maybe get those center reps. Those are guys he could use there. So I get it. And for me, it's just because they just haven't really – there's not a lot of competition to put it there to put him up against.
Right. So nobody – if somebody had even played there for an extended period of time and played well – like I would say, even if Juice Scruggs was not a center and he was going to be a guard, then we could talk about, well, Juice Scruggs, he played all right. He filled a void. He's young. He's getting better. He deserves to be the left guard, given what Kenyon Green has done. But he moved to center. He's starting at center. So there's really no reason to not give Kenyon Green one last, hey, man, you earned it. This is your spot. Take it and run with it. Let's see what you do. There's no reason not to. And quite frankly, I think he earned it.
All right, well, I don't know that about that. He's taking the steps. He's get there. We'll see when he gets on pads. Then, you know, he'll really earn it there. But Kenyon Green already right there as it looks like the starter right now, at least day one, he is the starter. Coming up behind us, Texans All Access Camp Talk, as I know the fellas will get going as the first day of camp, and they were excited and jacked and ready to go today. They'll talk to John McClain, talk with him. Yesterday earlier for a few minutes, just watching camp together. So John McClain, the general, he'll be on Texans All Access. And then after that, Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton. Sean Bajani was out there enjoying it. And they'll bring you everything you need to know as well about everything, about Texans, about Astros, and everything. So stay tuned as 16 continues rolling through live and local till 11 o'clock tonight. So stay with us. All right. CJ Stroud, like we said, the heavy hitters came and spoke today, and you could hear all of them right here on Sports Radio 610 as Will Anderson spoke and CJ Stroud spoke and Nick Caserio spoke, D'Amico Ryan spoke. CJ Stroud, this was his thoughts about the feeling he is getting about this team entering training camp.
Yeah, I think for me right now, just the message is keep the main thing. We want to, of course, we have not only a lot of expectations, we have a lot of big goals on this team. And, I mean, that's how it should be, you know. The person who always doubts himself probably will never make it to that point, you know. So you got to have confidence and have a goal and a plan and execute that plan. So
and that's what we're doing. And but you have to be where your feet are. You know, we're in training camp right now. We got to just execute that and make sure that we're taking every day to get better.
And when I hear that, and then when I see what we've watched and what we watched today, and I think to me the number one notable thing overall, and we've talked about Kenyon Green and how he looked. We've talked about many aspects of what we've watched today. But to me, the most notable thing is what he's talking about. The vibe and the feeling is completely different than anything we have seen entering a Texan season during training camp, Clint. And we've said this is the most anticipated season. Well, they are acting like this is a championship type of season. That's what they look like. The way they're carrying themselves, the way they are approaching things, everybody's talking, the veterans, everybody, they feel different. They have a different feel. And this clearly feels like a team that has big goals. That's how they're acting.
Yeah, look, the vibe is completely different. There's a championship caliber vibe out there. And it's because, yes, they've had a little success, but ultimately you've got probably 12 different guys that are leading this team. It's a player-led football team, which is what all coaches desire to have, is a core group of leaders on your team that can ultimately be the thermostat of the room, that can make this team go one direction or the other, that has the ear of the team, and the coach doesn't have to police the locker room. The coach doesn't have to constantly stay on guys about nutrition and being on time and yada, yada, yada. You got a real championship caliber vibe around the Houston Texans, and I think it's real. Look, you brought in win now type of players with Danielle Hunter and Azeez Al-Shaair and Joe Mixon and Stephon Diggs and Danico Autry. And I mean, you made win now moves to bring in great players that are big time leaders, and your young dudes that you drafted last year and handed the keys of the organization to, Will Anderson and CJ Stroud, are big time leaders. And so it should be no surprise that this is a legit championship caliber vibe around his team.
And the thing that kept coming to mind as I was sitting there at practice, and I kind of had this feel a little bit during mandatory minicamp where a lot of guys were there, Clint. And for me, I was there every day covering the current NFL dynasty we have, the start of it.
Mm-hmm.
And this reminds me a lot of the team of the Chiefs in 2018 that came off losing in the AFC Championship game to Brady and the Patriots going into that next year. Just the way that camp was, the way they carried themselves, but it felt like it became Mahomes' team. They made some move, added some different voices and guys in there. It just, Kelsey, all of it, it just looked and felt different. And that's how this group feels. Yeah. They feel a lot like the way the Chiefs did between 18 and 19, where they lost in the playoffs, and then obviously the next year they won a Super Bowl to start, kick things off with it. But that, it reminds me a lot of how that team started to move.
Yeah.
They moved different, and I give them a lot of credit. That's a big thing to kind of move towards that.
Well, you're clearly talking about a well-coached football team with them and a well-coached football team here. And then the next step, like great coaching and talented players can take you to a certain extent. And then all of a sudden when the players, instead of buying in, they just flat-ass believe because they've seen it. Right now, all of a sudden, like I said, it's a player-led football team, and they're taking ownership instead of buying in, and it's a much more powerful combination. And I hope what you saw in Kansas City is what we end up seeing here in Houston this year.
Yeah, they're doing their thing. We'll have it for you tomorrow, training camp day two. We'll be out there having a look at this Texans team and get you ready for this huge second half, as the Astros will be in Seattle, back on the mound and back on the diamond for the biggest series of the year thus far. Clint, great job. Kyler, great job. Coming up behind us, Texans All Access. And then Area 45 with Bojani Creighton, and Byron's in the building. And they will hold it down after Texans All Access. I am Ron Hughley, as always, Houston. We love you, baby. you didn't got these damn sunglasses on, and hey, I mean, you look like somebody in a rom-com that just had a hell of a night, that either his heart was broken or he got absolutely blitzed.
I am a hungover.
He's having a good time.
I think, hey, just let him hang, man.
Hey, we haven't reached intervention time yet. Like, they won the Super Bowl already. Like, they won the whole thing. Champagne.
Hey, he kicked 2024 off the right way.
Just one look. All right, well, I don't know that about that. He's taking the steps. He's get there. We'll see when he gets on pads. Then, you know, he'll really earn it there. But Kenyon Green already right there as it looks like the starter. The starter right now, at least day one, he is the starter. Coming up behind us, Texans All Access Camp Talk. I know the fellas will get going as the first day of camp, and they were excited and jacked and ready to go today. They'll talk to John McClain, talk with him. Today earlier for a few minutes, just watching camp together. So John McClain, the general, he'll be on Texans All Access. And then after that, Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton. Sean Bajani was out there enjoying it. And they'll bring you everything you need to know as well about everything, about Texans, about Astros, and everything. So stay tuned as 16 continues rolling through live and local till 11 o'clock tonight. So stay with us. All right. CJ Stroud, like we said, the heavy hitters came and spoke today, and you could hear all of them right here on Sports Radio 610 as Will Anderson spoke and CJ Stroud spoke and Nick Caserio spoke, D'Amico Ryan spoke. CJ Stroud, this was his thoughts about the feeling he is getting, about this team entering training camp.
Yeah, I think for me right now, just the message is keep the main thing. You know, we want to, of course, we have not only a lot of expectations, we have a lot of big goals on this team. And, I mean, that's how it should be, you know. The person who always doubts himself probably will never make it to that point, you know. So you got to have confidence and have a goal and a plan and execute that plan. So, you know, that's what we're doing. And but you have to be where your feet are. You know, we're in training camp right now. We got to just execute that and make sure that we're taking every day to get better.
And when I hear that, and then when I see what we've watched and what we watched today, and I think to me the number one notable thing overall, and we've talked about Kenyon Green and how he looked, we've talked about many aspects of what we've watched today, but to me the most notable thing is what he's talking about. The vibe and the feeling is completely different than anything we have seen entering a Texans season during training camp, Clinton. We've said this is the most anticipated season. Well, they are acting like this is a championship type of season. That's what they look like. The way they're carrying themselves, the way they are approaching things, everybody's talking, the veterans, everybody, they feel different. They have a different feel. And this clearly feels like a team that has big goals. That's how they're acting.
Yeah, look, the vibe is completely different. There's a championship caliber vibe out there, and it's because yes, they've had a little success, but ultimately, you've got probably 12 different guys that are leading this team. It's a player led football team, which is what all coaches desire to have is a core group of leaders on your team that can ultimately be the thermostat of the room, that can make this team go one direction or the other, that has the ear of the team. And the coach doesn't have to police the locker room. The coach doesn't have to constantly stay on guys about nutrition and being on time and yada, yada, yada. You got a real championship caliber vibe around the Houston Texans, and I think it's real. Look, you brought in win now type of players with Danielle Hunter and Azeez Al-Shaair and Joe Mixon and Stephon Diggs and Danico Autry, and I mean you made win now moves to bring in great players that are big time leaders, and your young dudes that you drafted last year and handed the keys of the organization to, Will Anderson and CJ Stroud, are big time leaders, and so it should be no surprise that this is a legit championship caliber vibe around this team.
And the the thing that kept coming to mind as I was sitting there at practice, and I kind of had this feel a little bit during mandatory minicamp where a lot of guys were there, Clint. And for me, I was there every day covering the current NFL dynasty we have, the start of it.
Mm-hmm.
And this reminds me a lot of the team of the Chiefs in 2018 that came off losing in the AFC Championship game to Brady and the Patriots going into that next year. Just the way that camp was, the way they carried themselves, but it felt like it became Mahomes' team. They made some move, added some different voices and guys in there. It just, Kelsey, all of it, it just looked and felt different. And that's how this group feels. They feel a lot like the way the Chiefs did between 18 and 19, where they lost in the playoffs, and then obviously the next year they won a Super Bowl to start, kick things off with it. But that, it reminds me a lot of how that team started to move.
Yeah.
They moved different, and I give them a lot of credit. That's a big thing to kind of move towards that.
Well, you're clearly talking about a well-coached football team with them and a well-coached football team here. And then the next step, great coaching and talented players can take you to a certain extent. And then all of a sudden when the players, instead of buying in, they just flat-ass believe because they've seen it. Right now, all of a sudden, like I said, it's a player-led football team, and they're taking ownership instead of buying in, and it's a much more powerful combination. And I hope what you saw in Kansas City is what we end up seeing here in Houston this year.
Yeah, they're doing their thing. We'll have it for you tomorrow, training camp day two. We'll be out there having a look at this Texans team and get you ready for this huge second half, as the Astros will be in Seattle, back on the mound and back on the diamond for the biggest series of the year thus far. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. Coming up behind us, Texans All Access. And then Area 45 with Bojani Creighton and Byron's in the building. And they will hold it down after Texans All Access. I am Ron Hughley, as always, Houston. We love you, baby. You done got these damn sunglasses on, and you look like somebody in a rom-com that just had a hell of a night, that either his heart was broken or he got absolutely blitzed.
I am a hungover.
He's having a good time.
Let him hang, man.
Hey, we haven't reached intervention time yet. Like, they won the Super Bowl already. They won the whole thing. Champagne.
Hey, he kicked 2024 off the right way. Just one.